everybody. Let's turn in the Word of God, if we could, to Psalm 146. Psalm 146, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord, O my soul. I will praise the Lord while I live. I will sing praises to my God while I have my being. Do not trust in princes, in mortal man in whom there is no salvation. His spirit departs, he returns to the earth, and that very day his thoughts perish. How blessed is he whose help is the God of Jacob, whose hope is in the Lord his God, who made heaven and earth, the sea and all that is in them, who keeps faith forever, who executes justice for the oppressed, who gives food to the hungry. The Lord sets the prisoners free. The Lord opens the eyes of the blind. The Lord raises up those who are bowed down. The Lord loves the righteous. The Lord protects the strangers. He supports the fatherless and the widow. But he thwarts the way of the wicked. The Lord will reign forever. Thy God, O Zion, to all generations, praise the Lord. If we could turn to the last psalm in the Psalter, Psalm 150. Praise the Lord. Praise God in his sanctuary. Praise him in his mighty expanse. Praise him for his mighty deeds. Praise him according to his excellent greatness. Praise him with trumpet sound. Praise him with harp and lyre. Praise him with timbrel and dancing. Praise him with stringed instruments and pipe. Praise him with loud cymbals. Praise him with resounding cymbals. Let everything that has breath praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Let's pray. Father, we do come to take that exhortation to heart, that command that is given to praise the Lord. We come, Lord, to lift up our hearts to you as we had prayed earlier, to stand before you as the true and living God, to realize that, Lord, you are God, that we are here on this earth for a purpose, that you have created us, that you've given life to us, that you sustain us in this life. Our Lord, every breath that we have is a gift from you. We have spoken of that often. It's the realization that, Lord, our life is contingent. It is not independent of you. We live and move and have our being in you. You will us to exist. It is a gift that you have given, Lord, this life that we live. More importantly, the life in your Son is this astounding gift of salvation to us. And Lord, of all the people on the earth, we stand unique. We stand as a people signally blessed by you out of the relationship you've called us to. Indeed, we do come to lift our hearts to praise you. Lord, with hearts that have been set free from sin, to praise you because you are indeed the true and living God. More importantly, you are our God. We have come to know you by your grace. And Lord, for all your goodness to us, we want to lift our hearts to bless you, to thank you for the gift of your salvation to us, to thank you for Jesus, to thank you for the Word of God, to thank you for your Spirit who indwells us, to thank you for your commitment to us, Lord, every day of our life to be with us, for your sufficiency in every circumstance, for your grace, Lord, for your heart of love towards us, we give you praise. We give you thanks. We thank you for the hope that we have in this life, Lord. As we walk with you, we know that you're faithful and that you'll meet us, but we also know where we're going, the hope that we have for eternity. And Lord, when we leave this earthly scene, we know that we will stand before you, all men will stand before you. But because of your grace, because of your goodness, we stand before you, Lord, as those who will receive an inheritance, the blessing of our God for all eternity. For we are no longer under judgment and condemnation if we know your Son. You have delivered us, and we belong to you for all eternity. So thank you for the hope that we have, the hope for every moment of our life because you're with us, and the hope that we have because we know where we're going. Our sins have been dealt with. And for the security that that brings us, Lord, that we belong to you. We love you. I want to lift up your word to you, Father, and just pray. We thank you for the word of God. We thank you that it is your word forever settled in heaven, that it is your God-breathed word, inspired, All scriptures inspired by God, profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness, that the man of God may be adequate, equipped for every good work. So we lift up the word of God to you, Lord, in all of our need, and ask that by the ministry of the Spirit of God, you would apply your truth to our hearts, that we would not only know the word of God in an intellectual sense, but Lord, that we would actually live it by your grace and power. Thank you that we can do that if we know you. So we commit our hearts to you in this time. We commit our way to you. We ask you to meet us and strengthen us. Fill us with your Spirit. We love you and we praise you and bless you. In Jesus' name, amen. This morning we want to come again to our study of the Psalms, to an examination of the last five Psalms of the Psalter, Psalms 146 to 150. These are five Psalms which had been formed together as a collection. They had been grouped together to form a very fitting conclusion to the Psalter as a whole, 150 Psalms in the Psalter, these last five Psalms, and really six, because you could begin with Psalm 145, they form the conclusion. The theme of this collection is the praise and worship of the Lord. Each one of these Psalms begins and ends in exactly the same way, with the exhortation, the call, praise the Lord. They begin that way, praise the Lord. They end every one of these Psalms with praise the Lord. As we've seen in previous studies, the phrase praise the Lord comes from the Hebrew word hallelujah. We hear that term a lot. People use it in various ways to express joy of something that has happened. Hallelujah. Seldom do they understand what it really means. It means praise the Lord. They are really not praising the Lord. They're just expressing, you know, a feeling of joy because of something that has taken place. It's kind of like the term born again. You know, it's become a sort of a catchphrase that we use in the culture, and all of its biblical meaning has been completely lost. What it means to be born again is the most radical thing that can happen to a man or a woman on the face of this earth. Hallelujah has to do with praising God. It's formed from two words, Hallel, which means praise, and Yah, which is a contracted form of the word Jehovah. And so it comes to mean Hallelujah, praise the Lord. We've seen that there are other collections of Psalms which have as their theme the praise of the Lord, or are grouped together as a collection as a means for the people to prepare their hearts for worship as they go to the temple to seek the Lord, to worship Him. As we studied in our study throughout the days in which we've been looking at the Psalms, we've seen that Psalms 113 to 118 are called the Egyptian Hallel. It's a collection of Psalms. The Psalms of praise to God, which were formed as a collection and sung by the people during Passover and Pentecost and Tabernacles, but were used most significantly at Passover, where they were sung before and after each Passover meal. Another collection of Psalms that were used for the purpose of preparing the people for worship were Psalms 120 to 134. These are known as the Psalms of Ascent, which the Jewish pilgrims sang on their pilgrimage to Jerusalem for the celebration annually of three feasts ordained by God. This collection then culminated in Psalms 135 and 136, which are known as the Great Hallel, Psalms of Praise to God. And then we come to the final Hallel collection, Psalms 146 to 150, and the entire focus of this psalm is that of the worship and the praise of God. Very significant that this collection of psalms is the climax of the entire Psalter. As we noted last week in our study of Psalm 145, which forms the introduction to this Hallel, Psalm 145 begins on a personal note. It's the expression of David's personal commitment to worship and praise his God. And this then leads into the final five Psalms of the Psalter, which is a call for the people of God as a whole in all of the created universe to worship and praise the Lord. And Psalm 147 makes clear praise is good and fitting because it puts man in his proper relationship to his Creator, and it acknowledges the greatness, the glory, the goodness of God, and man as the recipient of God's mercy and goodness. Puts man in his place. We did not create ourselves. We have been created, and we owe God everything. As one reads through these final Psalms, there's one thing that is conspicuously absent. And that is the fact that there's not one single prayer request in the entirety of these five Psalms. You look in vain for a request. These Psalms have one overriding theme and concern, and that is praise. All through the Psalms, we have seen the psalmist pouring out their hearts to God in the midst of trials and afflictions and suffering and making many requests of Him. And we have seen many of the Psalms have to do with enemies and the wicked of this world, with persecution and the difficulties of living a godly life in an ungodly world. And these Psalms reveal to us the importance of focusing on the Lord in the midst of the difficulties of life and seeking His face in prayer to cast our cares upon Him and to receive from Him the grace and the strength to live life that we are called to live in this world, even in the midst of the reality of pain and suffering and trials and affliction. We're commanded to seek the Lord in this way. This is a good thing to do, because we cannot live this life apart from this, apart from drawing near to the Lord and drawing from Him the grace that we need in the midst of every circumstance of our life that we face, and to lift up our hearts in prayer to Him. Psalm 62:8 says, "Trust in Him at all times, O people. Pour out your heart before Him. God is a refuge for us." The Scriptures make it clear that it is always appropriate to pray and to seek the Lord with our cares and concerns and to commit them to Him and to make requests of Him. But it's interesting to note that in this final Hallel, there's none of that. The psalmists in these Psalms are not mainly concerned with laying hold of the Lord in the midst of their suffering and pain and trials and afflictions. Their focus in this final Hallel is on the Lord. And they call the people of God to focus on the Lord with a heart animated by praise. And what this final Hallel teaches us is that there is something which is higher in priority than dealing with our difficulties and circumstances before the Lord, and that is the priority of truly worshiping Him. You focus your heart on the Lord. It's right and good to bring the concerns and the cares of your life to Him. But what is the first thing in prayer? Jesus tells us, "Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be your name." That's the first concern, the worship of the Lord. This final Hallel is an anthem of praise. The psalmists are not taken up with asking anything from the Lord, but they are taken up with giving to Him, with praising Him, with worshiping Him on the basis of who He is and for what He has done and for the revelation of all that He has promised to be to those who truly know Him. Praise and thanksgiving form the very heart of worship, for they are an expression of a heart which is focused upon and dominated by the person of God Himself and the experience of His grace and His goodness. In this final Hallel, we find an amplification of the truths recorded in Psalm 145 and a summary of the major themes of the overall book of Psalms as a whole. They begin with a call for the people of God to praise the Lord, and then they build in intensity until they end in Psalm 150 in a thunderous crescendo of praise and of a call to the created universe, the entire universe, to give enthusiastic, exuberant, joyous, and loud praise to God. It's a call for men to employ every means available to express true worship of their Creator and Maker as a first priority in life. To make His praise that which is first and foremost in our hearts, so that what truly dominates our lives is not the trials, the difficulties, the suffering, but the worship of our God. All throughout these Psalms, we are told why we are to be taken up with the praise and the worship of the Lord. It is due to the amazing truth, as we saw last week, of the wonder and the greatness of His being, but also because of the experience of His love and goodness and grace, and because of the relationship that He has established between ourselves and Him. And because of the revelation of the amazing truth and reality of His love for and attitude towards those who truly know Him. What this final Hallel is teaching us is that the first priority in prayer is praise. It is worship. This Hallel teaches that worship is meant to be overflowing with joy and enthusiasm and exuberance. It's something that genuinely is meant to captivate our hearts because of the greatness and the goodness of God. If we just allow these Psalms to speak to us, we can't help but be impressed with the priority that they put on praise, regardless of the circumstances we may presently be going through. So let's look for a moment, if we could, just going through these Psalms in a systematic way to look at the emphasis that is placed here on praise, beginning in Psalm 146, verse 1. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord, O my soul. I will praise the Lord while I live. I will sing praises to my God while I have my being. In verse 10, praise the Lord. Psalm 147, verse 1, praise the Lord. For it is good to sing praises to our God. It is pleasant and praise is becoming. Verse 7, sing to the Lord with thanksgiving. Sing praises to our God on the lyre. Verse 12, praise the Lord, O Jerusalem. Praise your God, O Zion. Verse 20, praise the Lord. Psalm 148, verses 1 to 4. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord from the heavens. Praise Him in the heights. Praise Him, all His angels. Praise Him, all His hosts. Praise Him, sun and moon. Praise Him, all stars of light. Praise Him, highest heavens, and the waters that are above the heavens. Let them praise the name of the Lord. Verse 7. Praise the Lord from the earth. Sea monsters and all deeps. Fire and hail, snow and clouds, stormy wind, fulfilling His word. Mountains and all hills, fruit trees and all cedars, beasts and all cattle, creeping things and winged fowl. Kings of the earth and all peoples, princes and judges of the earth, both young men and virgins, old men and children. Let them praise the name of the Lord. Verse 14, praise the Lord. So what the psalmist is basically saying in this psalm is, let all that is in the heavens and the earth praise the Lord. Psalm 149, verse 1. Praise the Lord. Sing to the Lord a new song. And His praise in the congregation of the godly ones. Let Israel be glad in His Maker. Let the sons of Zion rejoice in their King. Let them praise His name with dancing. Let them sing praises to Him with timbrel and lyre. For the Lord takes pleasure in His people. Verse 5. Let the godly ones exult in glory. Let them sing for joy on their beds. Let the high praises of God be in their mouths. Verse 9, praise the Lord. And then finally, we have Psalm 150, which is the culmination of the entire book of Psalms. It's a mighty call for God's people and all of the created order to be consumed with the praise of God. Praise the Lord. Praise God in His sanctuary. Praise Him in His mighty expanse. Praise Him for His mighty deeds. Praise Him according to His excellent greatness. Praise Him with trumpet sound. Praise Him with harp and lyre. Praise Him with timbrel and dancing. Praise Him with stringed instruments and pipe. Praise Him with loud cymbals. Praise Him with resounding cymbals. Let everything that has breath praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. This final Hallel is a virtual tsunami of praise and of a call to praise the Lord. It's a worship of praise and thanksgiving, of rejoicing and dancing, of being glad in the Lord, of resounding singing with the accompaniment of musical instruments of all kinds. And it's loud. It's meant to be loud, which means it's supposed to engage your whole heart, something you take great joy in. This is what is meant to be the dominant characteristic of our hearts and lives. And the Psalms of this Hallel give us the reason for our praise. It is summed up for us in Psalm 150, verse 2, praise Him for His mighty deeds, praise Him according to His excellent greatness. Praise God for who He is, praise Him for what He's done. Look with me again in Psalm 146, verse 1. Praise the Lord, O my soul. This is personal. I will praise the Lord while I live. I will sing praises to my God while I have my being. And then this exhortation. Do not trust in princes, in mortal man in whom there is no salvation. His spirit departs. He returns to the earth. In that very day his thoughts perish. How blessed is he whose help is the God of Jacob, whose hope is in the Lord his God, the one who made heaven and earth, the sea, and all that is in them. At the very beginning of this collection of Psalms, this final Hallel, we have a statement of commitment from the psalmist to praise the Lord all the days of his life with the entirety of his being. This is the commitment of his heart. And the rest of these Psalms are going to tell us why he can do that, why he is committed to that. But he gives a warning and an exhortation for the people of God here to walk by faith and trust the Lord and not to trust in man. This exhortation and warning is given by way of introduction to the people of God to live in the praise of God. And there's a very important reason for this, because unless we live in a trust relationship with the Lord by faith so that he alone is our trust in life, then we will not be able to truly worship and praise the Lord, because as the Psalms of this Hallel and the Psalms as a whole teach us, our worship and praise of God has to be grounded in life, an experience of a relationship with the Lord and the experience of his grace and goodness and the fulfillment of his promises to us out of the experience of his faithfulness and his love. We've said often, these Psalms are not just given as a doctrinal treatise to us of who God is, and sort of as a call for us to be those who sing. These Psalms are meant to be lived. They're all about life. They're all about knowing God and walking in the experience of that knowledge. And all of that then results in a heart of worship and a heart of praise that comes from experience. A walk of faith and trust in the Lord is an essential aspect of a walk of righteousness and godliness and love for the Lord, and an absolute essential for being able to lay hold of him in the practical day-to-day circumstances of our lives so that we actually experience his life, his grace, his strength, his power, and we walk in the security of his love for us, and this becomes a major aspect of the praise that we express to the Lord. We're going to see, as we go through these Psalms, what is the major emphasis in these final Hallel. It's all about experience. It's all about praising God from a life that is rightly related to him and that knows his grace. It's because we know him as our help and our hope. We know the blessing in our lives of what that means. Psalm 146:3. How blessed is he whose help is the God of Jacob, whose hope is in the Lord, his God, who made heaven and earth, the seas and all that is in them. So you just think about the word help and hope. To say that God is my help means that I know in my experience the strength and the power of God. I know his presence. I know him. He's my hope because he's my help. That's not just words on a page. It's meant to impact us in how we live so that we can actually say, yes, he is my help and he is my hope. And therefore, I trust in him. I'm not looking to anything but him. Psalm 147, 10 to 11, the psalmist talks about the blessing of God on a certain kind of person. The Lord does not delight in the strength of the horse. He does not take pleasure in the legs of a man. The Lord favors those who fear him, who wait for his loving kindness. See, the favor of God is the experience of the blessing of knowing him, of actually experiencing his power and his strength and his saving deliverance in our circumstances. But he says you got to turn from leaning to the arm of the flesh. That's what he means by the strength of a man. Looking to the horse, the strength of the mighty horse, the strength of a man is in his legs. The strongest part of a man is his legs. And he's saying you've got to forsake that reliance upon your own wisdom, your own strength, your own power, to trust the Lord. It says God looks with favor upon those who fear him. Well, to fear God means I love him. It means my heart is submitted to him. It means I walk in righteousness before him. I'm walking in obedience to his word by the power of his spirit. My heart is given over to him. And as a result of that, I'm able to walk by faith to lay hold of him. We said so many times, if you're going to walk by faith and really have it be real, the foundation to a life of faith is a commitment to God. It's a commitment of my life to him. I have to be a man submitted to the Lord as my king, the Lord of my life, where I am committed to his will. As I am committed to his will and walking in the ways that he has revealed in his word by the power of his spirit, he will give me grace. And I can walk by faith and know him as my help and my hope. We're called to faith. Favor of God is the experience of blessing, of knowing him. And he showers that favor upon those who come to Him and trust Him, who fear Him, and who depend upon Him. The first call in a life of worship, if we're going to really praise God, we're going to praise Him from experience, we have to be men and women of faith. The foundation of that is that we have to meet men and women who love Him, whose lives are really submitted to Him. That means I have to repent of sin. I have to turn from the world. I cannot live for the world and live for God at the same time. Jesus said it, you cannot serve God and mammon. It's one or the other. I'm either living for this world and the things of this world, I'm living for myself, or I am living for Jesus Christ. I'm a follower of Christ in this world. If I'm a follower of Christ in this world, then I'm going to know the strength of Christ. I can walk by faith. If I'm not, I'll never know His strength. Faith will be an elusive thing. It will not work. It can't work. But for those who know the Lord, who love Him, who are dependent upon Him, who walk with Him, they can trust Him and He becomes their help and their hope. To know Him, to love Him, to wait upon Him, to depend upon Him, to trust Him. These individuals experience the Lord as their hope and their help because He favors them. He graces them. That's what this Christian life is all about. It's all about knowing the presence of the Lord. It's all about knowing His grace. It's all about knowing His life, His strength. He showers us with His loving kindness. Men are frail. They're weak. They're undependable. The Lord is the one who created us, who saved us, and who alone is sufficient for every circumstance of our lives, and who has the power to meet us and to sustain us. And as we trust Him and not in man or the things of this world, our lives are blessed because we know the Lord in a very personal and real way as our help and our hope. He's the one who made heaven and earth. By His great power and His outstretched arm, it says there is nothing too difficult for Him, nothing impossible to Him. And it is by His power that we are sustained. It is by His power that we are strengthened. And so we look to Him. And as we trust Him, we have assured hope because we know the Lord is faithful to do what He said He would do. I have the absolute assurance that if I'm walking with the Lord, I can hope in Him and He will fulfill that hope to me on the basis of the promise of His Word. And so as we walk with the Lord by faith and we walk in the real experience of His life and grace and power and the fulfilling of His promises to us, that becomes our experience. These Psalms emphasize three major truths that form the basis of our praise to God. You see these same truths emphasized over and over again throughout the Psalms that have a major emphasis on praise. The first has to do with the objective reality of the greatness of the being of God and the fact that He is the Creator. You begin with Genesis 1:1, you go all the way through to the end of Revelation. This is a truth that's emphasized constantly in the Word of God. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. That's the beginning of it all. And then we end with the Creator bringing all men to judgment in the book of Revelation. Psalm 146, verse 6 says, He is the one who made heaven and earth, the seas and all that is in them, and who is His sovereign, the one who is in sovereign control over and who sustains the created order by His wisdom and His power. So we give praise to God for His mighty works. Part of His mighty works are the fact that He's brought the universe into existence and He sustains it in existence. We live, as we have noted, because He sustains us in being. So we give Him thanks. Psalm 147 verses 4 and 5 says, He counts the number of stars. He gives names to them all. Great is the Lord and abundant in strength. His understanding is infinite. Verse 8, who covers the heavens with clouds, who provides rain for the earth, who makes grass to grow on the mountains. He gives to the beast its food and to the young ravens which cry. His control over the natural realm, the created realm. Verse 15, He sends forth His command to the earth. His word runs very swiftly. He gives snow like wool. He scatters the frost like ashes. He casts forth His ice as fragments. Who can stand before His cold? He sends forth His word and melts them. He causes His wind to blow and the waters to flow. What this is saying to us, in a rather poetic way, is that all that transpires out here in this created universe is under the control of God. Amen. Psalm 148, verse 1, praise the Lord from the heavens. Verse 2, praise him all his angels, all his hosts, sun and moon, all the stars of light, highest heavens, waters above the heavens. Let them praise the name of the Lord, for he commanded and they were created. Verse 7, praise the Lord from the earth. Sea monsters and all deeps, fire and hail, snow and clouds, stormy wind, fulfilling his word. Mountains and all hills, fruit trees and all cedars, beasts and all cattle, creeping things and winged fowl. Kings of the earth and all peoples, princes and all judges of the earth, both young men and virgins, old men and children. Let them praise the name of the Lord, for his name alone is exalted. His glory is above the earth and the heavens. As we pointed out last week, the truth of the Lord as creator, the maker of all things, is the foundational truth to all of worship. The worship of God is only fitting and right and pleasant and good because he is our creator, and worship is the acknowledgement of that truth. But the Hillel also reveals to us a second major truth that is the basis of our worship, which is also related to the third basic truth, and that is the truth of relationship with the one who is our creator. This Hillel tells us that our hearts are to be filled with singing and rejoicing. Psalm 148, verse 1, sing to the Lord a new song. We sing. It's not just a perfunctory thing we are to do. There's to be a song in the heart that comes out in the songs of praise that we sing. Sing a new song. Let Israel be glad in his maker. Let the sons of Zion rejoice in their king. Let them sing praises to him. Why? It says, for the Lord takes pleasure in his people. Psalm 146, verse 8, the Lord loves the righteous. Verse 14, Psalm 148, he has lifted up a horn for his people, praise to all his godly ones, even for the sons of Israel, a people near to him. Psalm 147, 19 to 20, he declares his word to Jacob, his statutes and his ordinances to Israel. He has not dealt thus with any nation. What the psalmist is saying is that the people of God, those who are godly and righteous, who fear him, are an incredibly blessed people because they have a love relationship with the Lord and he has given them his word. In this way, we are distinctly different from men and women of the world because of this relationship with the Lord and the gift of his word to us, which is his revelation, his truth to his people, that he gives us knowledge, he gives us wisdom, he gives us understanding, he gives us truth. He delivers us from confusion. I don't have to be confused in the least about who I am, about my purpose in life, about whether or not there is a true and living God who exists and who he is. He has given me that truth. He's given me the truth about how I can know him. He's given me the truth about the history of this world and where it's going and how it's going to end. Amazing truth. Knowledge and wisdom. You see, the Lord's godly ones are beloved and loved by him. He takes great delight in them. And therefore, we are called to rejoice in our Lord and to be glad in him, to revel in the fact that he loves us and is for us, and that we are his forever. That in love he has saved us, and in love he has in Jesus Christ established an eternal relationship between himself and those who truly know him, a relationship of love. From all the people on the face of the earth, the follower of Christ is distinctively different, for he or she has been set apart from the world by God to be his. Psalmist in Psalm 135, verses 3 to 4 says, praise the Lord, for the Lord is good. Sing praises to his name, for it is lovely. For the Lord has chosen Jacob for himself, Israel for his own possession. Now, I don't know about you, but to realize that my life is in the hand of God, a loving hand, and that I'm his forever, that I want to sing. I want to sing. Because this God is not only my creator, he's the lover of my soul. This is where the praise of our God from experience begins, from the experience of being brought into a personal relationship with the Lord so that we are grounded in love and that we are his forever, that he is with us, that he is for us, that he loves us. In Jesus Christ, in being reconciled to God, We are brought into a personal relationship with Him. And it's a relationship of love. That's where it all begins. Behind this gospel, behind this work of salvation in Christ, is a heart of love. God demonstrates His own love towards us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Simply knowing that in Jesus Christ, our Creator, in His love and mercy, has saved us, and that He has called us to a relationship with Himself and loves us, and that nothing can ever separate us from His love, should be enough to cause us to sing His praise all the days of our life. If He never did anything else. But then out of this relationship of love, this Hillel teaches us that there is a third major principle that is the foundation to our praise, and that is the truth of God's faithfulness to manifest His power and strength and grace on our behalf as our shepherd, as our father, as our keeper. We experience the Lord as our help and our hope, as He supernaturally intervenes in our circumstances and manifests His loving kindness towards us. We experience His favor. It's an experience. It said often when the children of Israel were brought out of Egypt and they're standing there before the Red Sea and they got nowhere to go, they're boxed in, and the Lord tells them, stand and see the salvation of God. And the Red Sea parts. And they walk through on dry land. That's an experience of the power of God. This God who was able to raise the dead, to open the eyes of the blind, to set captives free. All of us in this place who know Christ can testify to that. The power of God intervening in our life to transform and change us. That's an experience. And we're meant to walk day by day, moment by moment, in that experience. The experience of the grace of God, of the presence of God, of the power of God. Praises to be given to God for the greatness of His being as God, as the creator and sustainer of the universe. And then for the goodness of His love and salvation and relationship. And then finally, from the experience of His loving kindness and living. In Psalm 92, 1-4, the psalmist gives these insights regarding praise and thanksgiving, which have to do with life, the living of life. He says, it is good to give thanks to You, O Lord, and to sing praises to Your name, O Most High, to declare Your loving kindness in the morning and Your faithfulness by night, with the 10-string lute and with the harp, with resounding music upon the lyre. For You, O Lord, have made me glad by what You have done. I will sing for joy at the work of Your hands. You see here how the resounding praise from a heart that sings to the Lord with joy is grounded in the experience of the Lord as His hope and His help. He says He declares the loving kindness of the Lord in the morning, at the beginning of His day. He declares the truth revealed in the Word of God regarding God's love and kindness and His grace and mercy and His heart of love and the promises that the Lord has given in His Word of His presence and power and faithfulness and of all that He will be to the man or the woman of God based on those promises. And so he begins his day in hope. He takes the Word of God and he sees what God has declared to him. I have hope here because of the loving kindness of my God, the promises that He's given me, an assured hope of the Lord's presence with him and faithfulness to him. Then he says he declares the Lord's faithfulness by night as he experiences the Lord as his help. God meets him, so he gives praise to the Lord. It's good to give thanks to You, O God, to sing praises to Your name, O Most High. For You, O Lord, have made me glad by what You have done. I will sing for joy at the work of Your hands in my life. Day by day I walk with You. I can give You praise every day of my life for what I've experienced of Your grace. I have hope here because I know You won't fail me because You've given me a promise. I will never leave You. I will never forsake You. Do not fear, for I'm with you. Do not anxiously look about you. I am your God. I will strengthen you. Surely I will help you. Surely I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. That's a promise of God. We're supposed to lay hold of that promise. I'm supposed to know objectively the truth of God's loving kindness to me, His love for me, His commitment to me, His absolute faithfulness. And now I'm to go out into the day in the absolute assurance that He's with me and that He will fulfill His word to me if I truly know Him and love Him and trust Him. The praise of God from the psalmist is grounded upon his experience of God's faithfulness to him as he trusted and hoped in Him. Psalm 146, how blessed is the man whose help is the God of Jacob, whose hope is in the Lord his God. The praise of experience. And here the Hallel declares to us in statement after statement all that God will be to those who know Him, all that He does in His goodness and mercy and love to meet men and to bless them in His power and His faithfulness. The Lord favors those who fear Him, those who wait for His loving kindness. How blessed is he whose help is the God of Jacob, whose hope is in the Lord his God, who made heaven and earth, the seas, and all that is in them. Our God and Father and Shepherd is the Creator of the universe, who is omnipotent in power, before whom nothing is too difficult or impossible, who in His love and mercy is unfailingly faithful to meet those who love Him, walk with Him, and trust Him. He's able to do the exceeding abundant beyond all that we could ask or think. Verse 5, Psalm 146. How blessed is he whose help is the God of Jacob, whose hope is in the Lord his God, who keeps faith or truth forever, who executes justice for the oppressed, who gives food to the hungry. The Lord sets the prisoners free. The Lord opens the eyes of the blind. The Lord raises up those who are bowed down. The Lord loves the righteous. The Lord protects the strangers. He supports the fatherless and the widow. Psalm 147, verse 2. The Lord builds up Jerusalem. He gathers the outcasts of Israel. He heals the brokenhearted. He binds up their wounds. In verse 6, the Lord supports the afflicted. Verse 11, the Lord favors those who fear Him, those who wait for His loving kindness. What's this all about? It's all about miracles. And when I say miracle, I don't mean that you hold, you know, God as somehow, just because I come to Him and demand that He answer me and that, you know, I'm going to hold up some desire of my heart to Him and He's going to provide in a supernatural way for that. What this is talking about is God meeting men in their need as they walk with Him and cry out to Him and His ability to make them men and women of God. He can raise the dead. He can open the eyes of the blind. He can give the deaf the ability to hear. And again, that has happened to everyone in this room who truly knows Christ. We've been raised up from the dead spiritually. We've had blindness. Our eyes have been opened to truth, the grace of God in our lives. But then, moment by moment, as we walk this life that He's called us to walk, He meets us. All throughout our study of the Psalms, we have seen how the Lord promises to be in His power, grace, and presence, an all-sufficient resource and refuge to His people. Now, I'd like for us to take a moment to go back through some of the major Psalms that we've looked at and the promises that are given by the Lord to those who love Him and truly know Him, which form the basis of our hope in Him and by which He declares to us that He will unfailingly be our help. And I want us to just allow these promises from the Word of God to speak to our hearts of what God in His love for us as our Shepherd and Father and Keeper desires to be to us and will be to us as we trust Him. Turn to Psalm 1, very beginning. We talked about the fact that one of the major themes of the Psalms as a whole is the desire of God to bless men. Here's the very beginning, the promise of blessing, promised by God to the one who walks in godliness. Verse 1, how blessed is a man who doesn't walk in the counsel of the wicked, nor stand in the path of sinners, nor sit in the seat of scoffers. His delight is in the law of the Lord, and in His law he meditates day and night. All right, the blessed man is a man who's committed his life to Christ. He's committed his life to Christ as Lord. He's committed his life to follow the Lord Jesus Christ, to walk in righteousness. By the power of the Spirit of God, he is enabled to do that, and God says He will bless that man or that woman. That's a condition. Blessing in God doesn't come indiscriminately to men just because they lift up their hearts and faith to the Lord and try to trust Him. It comes to a certain kind of man. The godly man who's committed to the Word of God, who's been transformed by the grace of God. His delight is in the law of the Lord, and His law He meditates day and night. Here's the promise. He will be like a tree firmly planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in its season. Its leaf does not wither, and in whatever he does, he prospers. And it says the wicked are not so. You have two classes of men on this earth. You have the righteous and the godly. You have the wicked. All these abundant promises are given to the godly. God has very few things to say to the wicked, but what he says is incredibly profound and sobering. And he says it through a couple of times in the Hallel. The Hallel focuses on the godly, and it focuses on praise to God. He says, the wicked are opposed by God, and the wicked will perish. That's basically all it says. That's the only promise the wicked have from God. Unless you repent, you'll perish. But boy, those who commit their life to him, the Word of God opens up in a broad expanse of promises. Start here in Psalm 1. At the very beginning. Psalm 23. We know this. Very familiar psalm to us. We use this at funerals. This is not to be meant as a funeral psalm, folks. This is a life psalm. We're all going to die one day, and hopefully we'll be able to testify to what this is talking about when we are buried. And those who stand over our casket can say, you know, this person actually experienced what this is talking about. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He restores my soul. He guides me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You've anointed my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life. I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Promises. The whole thing's a promise. An assurance of hope that we have that if the Lord's my shepherd, that this is what he will be to me. This is what he will do for me. And that I can have this assurance that goodness and loving kindness will follow me all the days of my life because the Lord is with me. And then ultimately in eternity, I'm going to dwell in the house of the Lord forever. I don't know how you get beyond this, but the Lord has to be our shepherd. Jesus told us what that means. To know the Lord is my shepherd means I have to turn from sin and I have to commit my heart and life wholly to him to be my shepherd, the Lord of my life. To follow him. Look at Psalm 27, verse 1. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the defense of my life. Whom shall I dread? When evildoers came upon me to devour my flesh, my adversaries and my enemies, they stumbled and fell. Though a host encamp against me, my heart will not fear. Though war arise against me, in spite of this I shall be confident. One thing I have asked from the Lord, that shall I seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to meditate in his temple. For in the day of trouble, he will conceal me in his tabernacle, in the secret place of his tent. He will hide me. He will lift me up on a rock. And now my head will be lifted up above my enemies around me, and I will offer in his tent sacrifices with shouts of joy. I will sing, yes, I will sing praises to the Lord. And he ends the psalm saying, I would have despaired unless I had believed that I would see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. O Israel, hope in the Lord. Yes, wait on the Lord. Hope in him, because he cannot fail you. His promises to us. Look at Psalm 34. Verse 1. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul will make its boast in the Lord. The humble will hear it and rejoice. Oh, magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. I sought the Lord and he answered me. He delivered me from all my fears. They looked to him and were radiant. Their faces will never be ashamed. This poor man cried and the Lord heard him and saved him out of all his troubles. The angel of the Lord encamps around those who fear him and rescues them. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. How blessed is the man who takes refuge in him. The eyes of the Lord are toward the righteous, verse 15. His ears are open to their cry. The face of the Lord is against evildoers to cut off the memory of them from the earth. The righteous cry and the Lord hears and delivers them out of all their troubles. The Lord is near to the brokenhearted, saves those who are crushed in spirit. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers him out of them all. He keeps all his bones, not one of them is broken. Evil will slay the wicked. Those who hate the righteous will be condemned. The Lord redeems the soul of his servants, and none of those who take refuge in him will be condemned. That's a psalm for living. Living with security and stability in the promises of God and his faithfulness to those who truly know him, who love him. Psalm 37, verse 3 and 4, trust in the Lord and do good, dwell in the land and feed on his faithfulness. Delight yourself in the Lord, he will give you the desires of your heart. Commit your way to the Lord, trust also in him, and he will do it. Psalm 55, verse 16. David says, as for me, I shall call upon God, and the Lord will save me. Evening and morning and at noon, I will complain and murmur, and he will hear my voice. He will redeem my soul in peace from the battle which is against me. Then he says in verse 22, to all people, cast your burden on the Lord, and he will sustain you. He will never allow the righteous to be shaken. I can't tell you how many times that verse, the Lord has used in my life, in the midst of difficult circumstances, to stabilize my heart. You don't need to memorize 500 verses. It'd be good to do that. But it'd be a whole lot better to memorize maybe five that you actually live, where that thing becomes living to you. You know that Isaiah 41:10, I quote it all the time. I quote it all the time because it's in my heart. Do not fear, for I am with you. Do not anxiously look about you, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. Surely I will help you. Surely I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. That's another verse the Lord has used over and over again. Cast your burden on the Lord. He will sustain you. He will never allow the righteous to be shaken. You got to lay hold of that. You lay hold of it by faith, and you trust God to fulfill that to you. And what do you experience? His sustaining power in the midst of difficulties so that you're not shaken. Psalm 84, 11 to 12, the Lord God is a sun and shield. The Lord gives grace and glory. No good thing will he withhold from those who walk uprightly. O Lord of hosts, how blessed is the man who takes refuge in you. Look at Psalm 91. This entire psalm is a promise. He who dwells in the shelter of the Most High will abide in the shadow of the Almighty. I will say to the Lord, my refuge and my fortress, my God in whom I trust, for it is he who delivers you from the snare of the trapper and from the deadly pestilence. He will cover you with his pinions. Under his wings you may seek refuge. His faithfulness is a shield and a bulwark. You will not be afraid of the terror by night or the arrow that flies by day, of the pestilence that stalks in darkness or of destruction that lays waste at noon. 1,000 may fall at your side, 10,000 at your right hand. It shall not approach you. You will only look on with your eyes and see the recompense of the wicked. For you have made the Lord my refuge, even the Most High, your dwelling place. No evil will befall you, nor will any plague come near your tent. For he will give his angels charge concerning you to guard you in all your ways. They will bear you up in their hands that you do not strike your foot against a stone. You will tread upon the lion and the cobra, the young lion and the serpent. You will trample down. Because he has loved me, therefore I will deliver him. I will set him securely on high because he has known my name. He will call upon me and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will rescue him and honor him. With a long life I will satisfy him and let him see my salvation. See, you just start reading. And you just read, and you just, how long has this taken? It takes quite a while, and we aren't even at the beginning of the promises of God, of what he will be to those who know him and who trust him. Psalm 121, I lift up my eyes to the mountains. From whence shall my help come? My help comes from the Lord who made heaven and earth. He will not allow your foot to slip. He who keeps you will not slumber. Behold, he who keeps Israel will neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord is your keeper. The Lord is your shade on your right hand. The sun will not smite you by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord will protect you from all evil. He will keep your soul. The Lord will guard your going out and your coming in from this time forth and forever. I could go on and on. I wanted to take the time to do this so that our minds are impressed with the truth of the promises of God. It's very easy to read a psalm, take a couple of promises, and just read over them. But when you get the full impact of all that the Word of God has to say to us about God's heart and His desire to bless and His absolute faithfulness and these promises, it should stir our hearts. These promises declare to us all that our God desires to be to those who have come into the experience of His salvation and have come to know Him as their King, who have come into a true and abiding relationship with the Lord of the universe, the true and the living God, in Jesus Christ. And in that saving relationship, we've come to know our Creator and Savior as the one who loves us, who is with us, who takes pleasure in us, who has made us His own for all eternity in His Son, and who has become our Father and our Shepherd and our Keeper. He has committed Himself to us in His love to be to us all that we need in life, to walk with Him and to fulfill His purposes on this earth until we are taken home by Him to be with Him forever. As David says, I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. And so out of this relationship with the Lord as our Creator, our Savior, our Lord, our Shepherd, our Father and Keeper, we walk in a faith relationship with Him and know His presence and the experience of His life, His grace and His power. And we walk in the experience of His love, His joy, His peace, His strength, as the one who is the fountain of living water who satisfies our hearts, as our protector, provider, refuge, our fortress, the hearer and the answerer of our prayers, our teacher, our guide, the one who gives wisdom and knowledge and understanding, who sustains our soul, who makes us salt and light in this dark and corrupted world, who makes us fruitful and purposeful, who grounds us in stability and security and rest so that we do not fear and we are not anxious, and we can, as we saw in Psalm 131, compose and quieten our soul in His presence, in His sovereignty, in His love and faithfulness, and experience the contentment and the rest of a weaned child, safe and secure in the lap and arms of his mother. So we rest in the Lord as our Savior, as our Father and Shepherd and Keeper, the lover of our souls, who is unfailingly faithful in His loving kindness. The experience of this amazing and incredible relationship becomes a source of resounding and joyful praise to our Lord and Savior, our God and Maker, our Father, our Shepherd and our Keeper. The Lord God is worthy of our praise, for He is first and foremost our Creator, who's given us the gift of life and who sustains us in life. He's worthy of our praise because of His awesome greatness, the greatness of His being and the greatness of His character. He is worthy of our praise because in Jesus Christ He has become our Savior and has showered us with grace and mercy, with forgiveness and deliverance from all judgment and condemnation. He's worthy of our praise because in Jesus Christ, the Lord God has joined us to Himself in an eternal relationship of love and has committed Himself to us to be our Father, to be the one who shepherds our life, the one who cares for us, who will faithfully fulfill His promises to us and who calls us to trust Him that we might know and experience the goodness of His presence, of His life and power, so that our lives are filled with to overflowing with praise and thanksgiving and joyful worship to the God of our life. This is the message of the Psalms. The truth of the true and living God and His desire for a relationship with sinful men that He might bless them. That He, as our Creator, and that the ultimate purpose and the meaning of life is to know Him. And in knowing Him and His salvation, to walk in the experience of a love relationship with Him, in the experience of His goodness, in the experience of His loving kindness, The overall theme of the Psalms is that of a relationship with the living God. Summed up for us in Psalm 105, verse 4, the command of God, seek the Lord in His strength, seek His face continually. To seek His strength, I need His grace to live. To seek His face, to know Him. To know the Lord in His strength, and then the blessing that comes from that relationship, taste and see that the Lord is good. How blessed is the man who takes refuge in Him. And so the Psalms end with a universal call for all the universe to resound in praise to the Lord for His greatness, His mighty works, for all His goodness and loving kindness. And that day is coming when indeed all that is created will sing praises to the Lord. The entirety of this universe. But until that day, we who know the Lord should live in such a way that our lives are dominated and characterized by praise. For that is the concluding message of the Psalter to us, that praise is to be the chief characteristic of our lives. Let Israel be glad in his Maker. Let the sons of Zion rejoice in their King. Let them praise his name with dancing. Let them sing praises to him with timbrel and lyre. The Lord takes pleasure in his people. Let the godly ones exult in glory. Let them sing for joy on their beds. Let the high praises of God be in their mouth. Praise him with trumpet sound. Praise him with harp and lyre. Praise him with timbrel and dancing. Praise him with stringed instruments and pipe. Praise him with loud cymbals. Praise him with resounding cymbals. Let everything that has breath praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Let's pray. Father, we stand before you and before the Word of God, stunned at the wonder and the glory of what this reveals to us, Lord. Of the greatness of your being, the wonder of your person, the fact that you are the Creator, the Lord God Almighty, who transcends all of this universe, that you are infinite in your being and eternal, that you are the one who created us. You've given life to us. And in your great mercy and your love and your kindness, you have brought us into relationship with yourself, that we actually know the true and the living God. And oh Lord, in all these amazing promises that you have revealed, that you have given to encourage us of your heart of love for us and of your absolute commitment to us to be our refuge and our fortress, to be our strength, to be our life, to be the one who meets us in every area of our life, an all-faithful God and Father and Shepherd and Keeper. Oh, Father, how can we not praise you? How can we not lift up our hearts in resounding praise from our heart to you? For truly you are worthy. You are good, perfect in all that you are and do. We bless you for your greatness. We bless you for your goodness. We bless you for the Lord Jesus. We bless you for our salvation. We bless you for your faithfulness to us. Father, we thank you. You are our hope. Our hope for every moment of our days here and our hope for eternity. You have showered us with grace and we give you thanks. Thank you, Lord, that our lives are in your hand and that you will meet us. Lord, fill our hearts with praise. Help us to take to heart, Lord, the call of your psalm to us. That we might stand before you in every circumstance of life with this first and foremost priority to give you the praise of our hearts. For we have tasted and have seen that you are good. How blessed is the man who takes refuge in you. We bless you in Jesus' name. Amen.